before I would go out on the second time, I would pop in and just, you know, see my desk and do anything I could do for you, and I'd do that time. And you go, oh, no, 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 you're going out on the second time, it's much more important. Just, you know, go out, go do your service, go out on the second time like that. And, again, I guess I wasn't very sincere about trying to help him or anything. I don't know what I was doing, but he just, he wasn't interested. Accepting service. I mean,
in everything else it takes to run a temple. He was a tireless worker. He would be the first one up in the morning and the last one to sleep at night. It was Jananda who was always running out to get the flowers. Jananda who was washing dishes and making sure the kitchen was clean. Jananda who was often missing class while he was out doing some service. And Jananda, who was always encouraging others to go out and preach and setting the example himself. Whatever assignment he was given, he would always get it done, even if he had to suffer personally for it. No matter how hard he was working, he would never stop for a nap during the day. He seemed to be inexhaustible. I think this is actually a really important point because it kind of shows how he applied to the Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada was the same way. He was tireless. Yeah, he was preaching effort. If you read the Lilamrita, you know that Srila Prabhupada slept very little, but every day he flew out in the most hellish conditions in order to preach Krishna consciousness. And he would do whatever it took in order to execute the instruction of his guru. So I think that what was really great here is that Jayananda definitely imbibed the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Very practical at all costs, whatever it took to push on Krishna consciousness. Because that was Srila Prabhupada's mood. You know, very rarely did we hear, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but very rarely did we hear where Srila Prabhupada wanted someone to become extremely, the word without offending anyone, extremely studious, you know, like a big scholar or things of that nature. He didn't discourage it. But I'm just saying that Prabhupada's mood was really like work now, samadhi later. Do you remember that when we were in Queens? It was like work now, samadhi later. Because the devotees in those days, they were pioneers. It's like if you read something about the pioneer of the West in America, here in the United States. The pioneers that came, they just came out here unknowingly, not knowing what to do or what was going to happen. And they just staked themselves at a certain area and stayed there through so many hellish conditions. So, same way, I believe that Jayananda Prabhu took up the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada came to America unknowing what to expect, anything. People didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada had to figure out some formula of how to engage all these young boys and girls in spreading his mission. And I think Jayananda is extremely wonderful. And I also feel that Prabhupada really praised him for that reason. Like the Kama was saying, that Prabhupada said, no, let him sleep. Because Prabhupada knew that Jayananda was a sold-out devotee. That he was sold out in the execution, you know, going out preaching, and doing whatever it would take to make this movement a successful movement in America. And Prabhupada knew that. And so in that way, in a very affectionate manner, out of love, he just told Jayananda, no, leave him alone. Let him sleep, because there he was freshening up last one at night. So, I thought that was very, to me, when I read this, I thought, wow, this is definitely how he imbibed a part of Srila Prabhupada in spreading the message of Krishna consciousness, because that's what it took in those days. And it wasn't unusual. You could go to a normal ISKCON temple, and you could go to a Bhagavatam class, and 50% of the people would be sleeping. And if you went to a Krishna book or a Bhagavad Gita class or a Krishna book reading, maybe like 75% were just snoozing. Because devotees would work all day long and Srila Prabhupada drove us. And it was good. It was fun. It was glorious. As we read here, that the people that had the association of Jnananda in that mood, they were happy. They were like really having a lot of fun. They were excited. And Jnananda's mood was to be constantly eating with prasadam. So, really nice. Anybody else like to say something about that mood? Yes. Looks like fun about the Prabhu.
When I joined the San Francisco Temple, Jnananda would take us. He was kind of like the Bhakti leader, which meant just we go out all day and harinam, and that really summoned incense and back to Godhead. So I went out with him like every day, I think, for like 6 months into the south. And we'd make up a huge batch of simply wonderfuls to take out, to pass out. I remember Jnananda was so liberal that he didn't even mind. He wanted to make sure the devotees were totally satisfied too. So a lot of times you eat like half of them before you kind of put them hard up. Everybody's like sleeping in the van. He's like, shake us, wake them up. And then we'd be out in the high enough for, I don't know, 7 or 8 hours and come back. And you know, you're talking about his humility, and I was thinking about that. And the reason why he's so humble is that he, in my mind, he's like the person who had no envy of anyone. And he was so humble, and that he was so down to earth.
Yeah.
And even if a person like, you know, they didn't, you know, they knew something about Krishna, you know, didn't want to associate it, there's no way you couldn't be spontaneously attracted to Jnananda, because he was so humble and just at the same time so down to earth. You could relate to everyone. Just meeting him, like you were saying, like the first time meeting him, you felt like he was your best friend. And you've known him for like so long.
Thank you. So we'll continue. Anybody else? Does someone else like to say something? Yes.
I was in LA in the 70s, and my mother was here. And he was just like in the background, and no one really knew about what he was doing. He was very quiet, and he was like behind the scenes man, not in the limelight. But the whole time he was preparing for this Rock Yatra in 1975 in LA, and I was here for that. He took ill, and still he was working in the parking lot over here in a wheelchair. And I just remember that the Rav Yatri was bittersweet because he had passed away before and he worked so hard on it, and the day that it came, everyone was like really sad that he had made it. But it was a great song, like, fortunate.
Yes, sir, does.
We were traveling in 1973, and we flew to San Francisco from Seattle, and one of our Prabhu would be there. He was a senior devotee. In fact, he'd been in the movement for 1 year.
Joy!
And when we traveled to different temples, we went to Denver, we went to Chicago, we went to Portland, of course, Sukadev was the president in Seattle. And you knew who the president was, because you could tell just by the way they acted, and you didn't even have to ask who was in charge. So we went to San Francisco for the first time. We were on the roadies with our party, and there was a nice group of the roadies on that Valencia Street. And one of the was serving out the prasad, just the ordinary guy. So I turned to one of the devotees, I said, who's the president here? Who's in charge? Right after prasad, I said, oh, the guy that was serving out the prasad, Jayananda, who was putting out the puppies, counting out 8 chickpeas on everyone's bread, and giving you a sliver of ginger. A sliver of ginger. And it was a giant outlet. Also in New York, when he was, I think McGonagall was saying that he took out the women's party. People have to understand that in New York, Brother Governor had taken over 100 Brahmacharis with Jamal Krishna Maharaj. And it was like at that time, 1975, whatever it was, maybe 5 or 10, 15 women in the temple. And the Brahmacharis were the president, the Prabhupadication, Democracy. And so they asked different people to manage the women's party. And of course, all Brahmacharis, they said absolutely not. It was a job that no one would do. And the woman was stepping forward to take care of the women. Jayananda Prabhu was married years previous for just a year or two and was a single man again, traveling with Brahmacharis. And he, out of humility, no one else would, in those days, that was not considered a high-class position. That was a great austerity. And Jayananda Prabhu took that job when no one else would do it and did it as a perfect gentleman.
Yeah, he did a perfect gentleman, exactly. I remember I was speaking to him about that, and I was asking, wow, that's really interesting. He's doing that, because you're right. The mood in the New York temple at that time was intensely Brahmacharis and Yas. It was definitely there. And he was more or less an amazing character to take that service on at that particular time. It's hard to describe that particular time period, but it was quite intense. And for him to take that position at that time was pretty incredible, considering the circumstances. All right. Continuing, Jambu Mahaprabhu remembers that many times the San Francisco devotees would go out to Berkeley to distribute the leftover prasad after Sunday feast. First, Jayananda would be in the kitchen cleaning. Then someone would say, "Hey, how about this leftover prasad?" Jayananda would say, "Okay, first let's get this kitchen clean." He would organize a cleanup crew and then work twice as hard as anybody. Then he would transfer the prasad loaded, and the devotees load it and the devotees into the van, drive the van to Berkeley, organize a distribution of prasad, and leave the kirtan while we distribute it. He was like a one-man show. Amazing. Okay, we'll talk a little bit here about Jayananda's freedom from fault finding. Those who knew Jayananda always noticed one remarkable quality about him. He could not criticize others. It was against his nature. Even if a devotee did something which warranted criticism, Jayananda would usually say nothing, or else something that made the mistake appear to be perfectly understandable. No matter who was giving class or leading kirtan, he would always appreciate it. He never spoke harsh words or chastised anybody. If one devotee was criticizing another within earshot of Jayananda, Jayananda would simply be. Because he knew how to encourage people, the temple leader would always assign new men to work with Jayananda. He saw no distinction between new devotee and old devotee. Both were his superiors. He could quickly give a new man a sense of identity and a feeling that he belonged in Krishna consciousness. A true Vaishnava, he was expert at fanning any little spark of Krishna consciousness into a big fire. You will dispute the claim that Jayananda made more devotees and helped more pull through than anyone else in the movement. Yes, Mike?
You mentioned just this last line or two there about how Jayananda Prabhu would encourage and make devotees feel comfortable in Krishna consciousness. In 75, when the deities were moved from Valencia to the new steward place, Jayananda Prabhu, I remember walking into the ashram there, which looks about the same now as it did then. And he was there in the bins washing with a line of young bhaktas, and he was shaving all their heads and having big hands. So look, it was his brother moving. He had these huge, huge hands, and with this big hand, he would very deftly work with his razor and shave these young bhaktas' heads. It looked very lovely, actually.
Okay. Among the devotees, Jagannatha was like a big brother, always compassionate and willing to listen to them. But devotees rarely burdened him with their problems. When you were around Jagannatha, said Karaka, you had no problems. The devotees loved Jagannatha and talked about him during the long drives on Jagannatha Sankirtan. He was dear to them because he had a sense of humor, too. Jambalan recalls being awakened one night at midnight by Jagannatha. Wake up, said Jagannatha, I've got a benediction for you. He then pushed a big samosa into the sleeping Jambalan's mouth. Very grateful. Also, at this time, we should know that Jagannatha at this time, he was quite older, physically older than most of the devotees. I believe at that time he must have been in, you know, mid or late 30s already. Doesn't he? Something like that. And most devotees were like in their early 20s, you know, 21, 22 years old. So they were quite young, he was quite older than them. And he was a very fatherly figure. Okay. Anyone like to say any more? Okay, so we'll keep on going here. Expert at engaging everyone. Jagannatha was very eager to see everyone engaged in Krishna service. He once wrote, when I reflect on my consciousness, had I not had association with devotees of Srila Prabhupada, I shudder to imagine the nightmare I would be in. If we could become a little dedicated to distributing the mercy, so many could be saved, so much suffering. End of quote. Because of his genuine compassion, Krishna gave Jagannatha the unique ability to make people want to serve Krishna, directly or indirectly. Whenever the bhakti would come, Jagannatha made him feel that he was engaged in important work. He was older, bigger, and stronger than just about anyone in the temple, and everyone was glad to be working under him. He was willing to let people do things their own way without getting finicky about details. Unless somebody's creativity interfered with practical necessity, a new partner or old, everyone felt satisfied after days with Jagannatha. This was especially evident during Ratha-yatra time. Jagannatha would organize a crew of cynics, loopers, uncooperative personalities, and non-devotees off the street to build rock carts. Although many of his men sat down for a smoke during breaks, he would get them to work 10, 12, or 14 hours a day. He was always glorifying others and working hard himself. In fact, he worked harder than anybody else. All those qualities made him very inspiring to work with. Moreover, there was something very personal about Jagannatha that made everyone want to help him. Once he and Maharaj Das were struggling to load a heavy refrigerator on a truck. Two drunks were walking up the alley, and Jagannatha said, I'm going to give them a chance to give them a chance to do some devotional service. His enthusiasm for devotional service was unusually contagious, and this was no exception. Those drunks were right in there helping, and the job was done in no time. Afterwards, as usual, Jagannatha said to the drunks, "Now say Hare, now say Krishna, now say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Jai Hare Go." Thank you, fellas. Our boys are showing no fun. This is Jagannatha. That's a trademark. That was a total trademark that we just read here. I don't say that. You say Hare, say Krishna. Say Hare Krishna. You could do that, devotees. I was in a particular circumstance where two devotees were arguing. He came and he said this. He walked right in the middle of an argument. It wasn't anything heavy duty, some kind of disagreement. Then he would say, "Hey, say Hare." And then they said, "Hey, say Krishna." And say Krishna. And say Hare Krishna. Kind of dispelled the argument. Bhaktas, anyone that was engaged by Jananda Prabhu.
One mention of the program was then
was busy going later. Prabhupada was feeding and Jananda Prabhu walked in and Prabhupada said, Jananda, let's just take a look at Jananda. And all the devotees of my giant and evil, and the Prabhupada kept comparing to Lord Chaitanya, tall, near complexion, near like Lord Chaitanya.
Okay, so we'll read about three or more captions, because it's getting late, I know, and we're almost done, just a couple more captions. Everyone knows that Jananda was very frugal, these are some things. Jananda would use his personal charm with people to get them to give everything free or at a discount to Krishna. Without spending huge sums of money, he would personally recommend all the vulgar flowers, lumber, paint, and everything else needed to put on Rath Yatra each year. One year, there were hundreds of devotees at the temple to feed just before the festival. Jananda went to see one of his famous friends at the produce market. His name was Banana King Louie. He came back with four free truckloads of bananas and first-class pineapples, coupled with some donated milk products. The devotees ate bananas, pineapples, and cream, as much as anyone could eat, all for free. Jananda would get almost anything done for free, such as printing, advertising, mimeographing, or Rath Yatra publicity. What he couldn't get for free, he'd get at a discount, and when he paid, he'd get his money's worth. For example, after the festival would end, he'd rent a big truck with which to haul all the equipment back to the temple. Although the devotees would be exhausted after weeks of hard work, he'd insist that everyone come out and help pack things away. At least he'd have to keep the truck another day and pay it another $50. King of Rath Yatra. Jananda was the backbone of the Bay Area Rath for many years, and his experiences at each one are summarized in the 1977 Rath Yatra edition of Bhakti Gandhi magazine. Behind the scenes, Jananda was doing everything in preparation for each festival. He would bake with flowers and funds, buy materials and build carts, advertise, arrange for permits, and organize cooking and serving of prasad. Although things always went right down to the wire, he would consistently succeed in fulfilling all of his plans every year. After the festival, Jananda personally brought a prasadam cake or pie to each and every person who had helped in some way or another. Because of his efforts, the devotees of the Bay Area enjoy, to this day, an amazingly harmonious relationship with the city officials. And we kind of learn that ourselves here in the Dvarka. We do that also. Any major people that help us with Rath Yatra, we give them a pie or a cake. It was a great thing to offer. During the weeks before the festival, Jananda would sleep at the site where the rock carts were under construction. He would rise early every day at 4 a.m. without fail, even if that meant he was getting only 3 hours sleep or less. To keep his crew enlivened, he would cook fantastic prasadam on a tiny gas stove at the site. The preparations were always carefully offered, and each was filled with so much bhakti that the temple devotees would sometimes sneak down to the cart site just to get some. Jananda regarded his final Rath Yatra at 76 festival in New York to be his most successful. This is his quote, or actually this is a letter by Keshav Das. Somehow I got the good fortune to work on the New York Rath Yatra. It was such an auspicious opportunity. Prabhupada was coming there. Prabhupada was coming. There was finally a first class center in Manhattan. And somehow, Toshan got it okay to use Fifth Avenue for the parade route. Jumbo Bomb was here, and we had a couple of other boys who worked very hard. I was praying that somehow we could get the carts finished. Somehow, by Krishna's grace, it worked out. You wouldn't have believed some of the events. The night before the festival, Saturday, at about 5 or 6 p.m., we were raising Balaram's dome, and it was at the top when a huge gust of wind caught it and blew the whole thing over. The framework was all busted, the tubing twisted, and so forth. I didn't see how we could rectify the situation. as there was so much to be done on the other two cards. But two devotees who were expert builders, Bala, they somehow get it back together. I had some extra price and so forth, and they worked all night. And I could raise all three chariots were at 5th Avenue and 59th Street by 6:30 a.m. Sunday. So this is some of the enthusiasm that John Linda instilled in the devotees for Rakhi Ajahn. Jayananda's association with Srila Prabhupada, a way of reciprocation, Srila Prabhupada would invariably call for Jayananda when he arrived in temples. Sometimes he would have to make repeated requests, and when Jayananda was finally located, he would resist saying, "No, I can't go to see him. I'm dirty. I'm too fallen." He'd work after festivals and let others see Srila Prabhupada. Thus, Jayananda's relationship with Prabhupada was always one of service. Service to Prabhupada was the core of Jayananda's life. Once Dhananjaya asked him, "How does one make spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness?" Jayananda answered, "I don't know. I'm too busy working to think about it." Srila Prabhupada always appreciated Jayananda's sincere service. He wrote to Jayananda in December of 75, quote, "I was very happy to get your recent letter. I am always thinking of you and praying to Krishna for your advancement in Krishna consciousness. Yes, I remember the old days in San Francisco. Krishna has been so kind upon me to have sent so many sincere disciples to help me push out of this movement on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. You continue with your program there in San Francisco. Always strictly keeping our principles, and Krishna will bless you with greater and greater realization of the importance of this movement. I am dependent upon you, my older disciples, to carry it on. I hope this meets you well." End of quote. Jayananda's final meeting with Srila Prabhupada took place in New York City in 1976, Rakhi Ajahn. When Prabhupada arrived at the airport, Jayananda drove the car to pick him up. Prabhupada was sitting in the back seat and asked, "Who is driving?" The devotee said, "This is Jayananda." "Oh, I know Jayananda," said Prabhupada. "He gave me $5,000 to print my Bhagavad Gita." One more caption. Okay. Jayananda was not only big and powerful in body, he was strong with faith in Krishna. Therefore, nothing could frighten him. Once, on San Francisco's Market Street, Jayananda was playing Madonna and leading a kirtan party when, down the street, an enormous man approached. He was at least 7 feet tall and weighed perhaps 300 pounds. His unkempt beard and drunken appearance indicated that he was an old veteran living in the bars of his pension. As he approached the kirtan party, the temple's reserved kshatriyas, Kesha Das and Gurkripa Das, readied themselves for a fight. Sure enough, the monster marched up to Jayananda, turned and began to shout, "Stop that chanting!